I invite Willie to come forward for our reading from God's Word this morning. And as she does, I would invite all of you to join me in our prayer for illumination, which you can find printed in your bulletin or up on the screens. Let us pray together. God of mercy, you promised never to break your covenant with us. Amid all the changing words of our generation, speak your eternal word that does not change. Enable us to respond to your gracious promises with faithful and obedient lives. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
The scripture this morning is found in 1 Kings 19. I will be reading from 1 to 18. It is found in your pew Bible on page 559. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also, anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him." The end of the word of the Lord.
Hi. Good morning, Gail. Good morning. First, I have to compliment all of you on your beautiful singing this morning. What a great job. Did you practice that for a long time? 40 years. Wow, that's a long time to practice. And you know what? That's interesting because I was going to ask you, did you get tired when you were practicing for 40 years? This 40 years of practice? What makes you tired, Holland? What makes you tired? When you sang in church today, you just got tired. Is it tiring being Gail the puppy? Does that make you tired? Yeah. Emily, what makes you tired?
School.
It's a lot of thinking makes the end of school, right? Well, you know what? I got up early this morning because of the time change, and I was watching the marathon, and these people run for like 26 miles. I say, wow, 26 miles. I'm tired after 26 seconds. So I was thinking about church today, which made me a little tired too. No offense. But I thought about Elijah today. And Elijah was a prophet of God, and Elijah loved God so much. And Elijah did whatever God said, was really a great servant of God. So Elijah had to go to this place that didn't love God anymore. They had other things that they loved more than God, and Elijah had to do some really tough work for God. But you know what happened after he did the tough work? People didn't like him very much. So you know what he did? He ran. And he ran, and he ran, and he ran. He was tired. But you know what happened when he was running? He started to feel very sad. Because he said, "God, I did all this work for you, and now I'm sad. I'm running. People want to kill me. I'm so sad." So he ran, and he ran, and he got tired. And he sat down, and he said, "God, I don't know what I'm going to do anymore. I just can't help you. Take my life, God. I'm no good." And he fell asleep. But you know what happened? When he was sleeping, an angel tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Wake up! Wake up! I'm not done with you yet. Have some food." So Elijah was tired and he was sad, but God didn't forget him. God sent an angel to give him food and water, and he got stronger. And he laid back down again and he fell asleep. And God said with the angel, "Wake up, wake up, I'm not done, I'm not done. Here's some more food and some more water." And Elijah started to feel better. God didn't leave Elijah. He just felt like he was alone, but he was never, ever, ever alone. God never left him alone. And then as the Bible story continues, he had a lot of work to do, Henry. Nope, a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
He did. So what does that teach us today? You know what? Sometimes we're going to get tired, like when you had to practice for 40 years to sing that song, or you have to sit for 6 hours in class. God is always with us, even when we're tired, even when we think he isn't there. Just like he never left Elijah and he sent food and water to strengthen him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the story of Elijah. We know that times are not easy when we choose to do your work, but help us to remember you are never far away. We can reach out to you in prayer and you will provide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You said it.
Let us pray together. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Just click right on that video. I'm going to show a little movie before we get started here today.
All right. Great shot, Tom. That should do it for you.
Thank you.
What are you going to do with all those winnings?
Well, my broker's E.F. Hutton, and E.F. Hutton says...
When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen.
That was only 40 years ago, 1977. So, predates me a little bit, and maybe some of you as well. So the purpose of showing that is so that when we're talking about the E.F. Hutton effect, everyone is going to understand that, at least in 1977, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. That's right. Very good. Now, in like 1990, when E.F. Hutton talked, no one listened at all because, well, that's another story for probably another sermon. So, there's this sense, right, that there's such wisdom, there's such great investing advice that whenever E.F. Hutton talks, the entire room gets silent. And whether it's out on a golf course with Tom Watson, or whether it's in a busy restaurant, that whenever E.F. Hutton is ready to give advice, the entire room goes silent and everyone listens in. And we assume, anyway, that this is how it is with God as well, that when God talks, people listen. And we expect, of course, when God talks, that God is going to announce that God is talking before it happens, and that it's going to happen right when we expect it to happen. Maybe right when we're sitting in church on a Sunday morning. Hopefully, one of the reasons that you came to church today was that you hoped to hear a word from God. There are a lot of reasons why people go to church, but hopefully that is at least one of them, that you showed up today hoping, maybe expecting, that God was going to speak to you in some way. This morning, we're talking about the prophet Elijah. And as I mentioned kind of in the warm-up, in the announcement time, Elijah is probably the most famous of all of the prophets. When Jesus is on the Mountain of Transfiguration, which we'll get to a few months down the road, there are two figures from the Old Testament who show up to talk with him. One of them is Moses, and the other one is Elijah. So Elijah must be a pretty big deal. We should probably pay attention to his story. There's a long backstory. I could probably spend 3 hours talking to you about what's going on geopolitically in the Old Testament at this time. But suffice it to say that since Solomon's death, things have gone badly for the nations of Israel and Judah. The nations have split. There's been a civil war. The 10 tribes to the north have split off to become their own nation, and Ahab is their king. And Ahab, well, he's not exactly what you would call faithful to God's word. He has an alliance with a foreign country, and as part of the deal, has married a woman named Jezebel. And she has brought with her worship of the god Baal, all right, which is like one of the supreme gods at that time. There's a lot of people who are worshiping Baal. Jezebel is one of them. She comes over, convinces Ahab to build some shrines, some high places where other people in Israel can come and worship Baal too. And there are some prophets who stand up to speak against this practice, speaking on behalf of God. And what happens to them? Well, of course, when God talks, people listen, right? Well, maybe if God showed up himself and talked, but the prophets who claim to speak on behalf of God, when they talk, they are executed. In no uncertain terms. And we get to the point where Elijah thinks that he's the only prophet that's left. And so he receives a word from the Lord that God is going to send a great famine on the land, and it's not going to rain anymore. And so Elijah stands up and he preaches this sermon that God has said that it's not going to rain anymore until Elijah gives the go-ahead. And it stops raining. And sure enough, famine comes upon the land. And try as the prophets of Baal do to make it rain, they can't make it rain. And so there's this big showdown that takes place. Ahab calling Ezekiel a troubler, or Ezekiel, gosh, Elijah, a troubler of Israel, calls him to a contest. Elijah versus the prophets of Baal. They set up two altars, and they put some wood on it, and they decide that the real God is the God who sends fire down from heaven to consume the sacrifice, to consume the wood on the altar. And so there are 450 of these prophets of Baal, and they set up this huge thing, and they start to do their ritual, and they're dancing around this thing, and they're crying out to Baal, imploring Baal to consume this sacrifice, fire from heaven. And of course, nothing happens. Elijah says, "You should call him louder. Maybe he can't hear you. Maybe he's like got his door closed. Or maybe he's on the phone with some other god. Call him louder so that he'll be able to hear you." So they do. They increase the volume. They increase the frenzy. They start to cut themselves open and pour their own blood on the sacrifice. And Elijah says, "Not hearing you? Call him louder. Maybe he's using the men's room. Who knows what he's doing? You know, you got to get his attention somehow." So they do. I mean, they're just falling all over themselves, and they're so worn out and they're so tired, and nothing happens, and they give up. Elijah commands his servants to bring buckets of water. He douses the wood, makes it totally wet. So wet, in fact, that there's a pool that fills up around the altar. And Elijah prays a simple prayer. "God, I know that you are with me, but so that all of these others can see, send fire down from heaven to consume this sacrifice." And it happens instantly. Fire comes down from heaven. The whole thing is wiped out. And in the confusion that ensues, Elijah kills 450 prophets of Baal. One guy. And then what happens? Well, of course, he's so certain that God is with him that he marches right up to Jezebel and he sticks his finger in her face, right? Well, wrong. What Willie read for us this morning is that Jezebel calls Elijah out and says, I am going to send an army after you. And Elijah gets scared and he flees. He flees to the wilderness. And it is there that he wants to hear a word from the Lord. And a word doesn't come to him. The greatest prophet in all of Israel, the one who stands up to the prophets of Baal, the one that God has used in mighty and powerful ways, finds himself in the wilderness alone. And he's burned out. And he's despairing. And he prays that God will just end his life and put him out of his misery. Here's someone who's been used by God in powerful ways, and yet here he is feeling as if God has now abandoned him. I came across a story in my research for the sermon this week of Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa, you all know who she is, right? Who she was? A nun, the city of Calcutta, who was well known for caring for the untouchables, those of the lowest caste in India, the poorest of the poor, all in the name of Jesus. Time magazine did a cover story on her 1 year, and the reporter went out to interview her and speak with her and shared a bit about his own faith. And Mother Teresa, saintly woman of God, said to the man, I'm very, very happy, and I praise God that God is in your life in powerful ways. But for me, God is absent. For me, God is silent. Here is someone working fervently on behalf of God with an intimate relationship with God who feels, at least in this moment, as if God has abandoned her, as if her prayers are not even making it out of the room that she's in. On this All Saints Sunday, as we think about all of those great people of faith who have gone on before us, this is not at all out of the ordinary in their stories. If you read autobiographies of people of great faith, they'll often talk about the way that when they're working their hardest, when God would appear to be most with them from outsiders, they experience God as being silent. St. John of the Cross refers to this as the dark night of the soul. This time when things would appear that God is deeply in your life, and yet your experience of God is one of absence. Maybe you've had an experience like this in your life before as well. I found that for me personally, these experiences take place usually off of some kind of spiritual high, some moment in which you feel the Spirit's power in powerful, immersive ways. Think about Elijah, fresh off of his victory against the prophets of Baal, that God has been with him in this way. But that experience doesn't last forever. It wears out. And when he looks around and finds himself alone, he despairs. He doesn't want to continue on. It's in that moment that an angel from God comes along, gives him what he needs, nourishment, support, the power to stand up and walk to another place, to go and seek God out. And where does he go? But Mount Horeb, also known as Mount Sinai, also known as the place where Moses talked with God for 40 days while God gave him the law, fresh off of Israel's time in slavery in Egypt. And Elijah was expecting that God was going to speak to him in some powerful way, the same way that God spoke to Moses. When Moses was up on the mountain, what was it like? What was the experience like for Moses? Well, from down below the mountain, the people would look up and they saw lightning and they saw fire and the earth shook and there were these great powerful things going on. And that was the way that they wrote about their experiences, that God spoke in the earthquake, and God spoke in the fire, and God spoke in the driving wind. And here is Elijah, and he's experiencing all these things. The wind comes and nearly blows him off the mountain, and it shatters the rocks, and there's an earthquake, and there's fire. And in all of these ways, Elijah is straining to listen. But God does not speak to him. And then something unexpected happens. There's a whisper outside the cave. Elijah draws his cloak around him to guard from the driving rain, the driving wind out there. And when he gets out there, he experiences a whisper. And that whisper is the voice of God. And for Elijah, when God speaks to him, he listens. And it's like nourishment to his heart and to his soul. Just as the angel nourished him down below in the valley, so now the word of God nourishes him at the mouth of this cave and says to him, Elijah, what are you doing all the way up here? And Elijah says, I've been abandoned. I've spoken words from you in powerful ways, and no one has listened to me. And there's no one left. I've been zealous for your word. I've done all of these mighty things in your name. And now Jezebel is out to get me and to kill me, and I am all alone. And God, in the whisper, says to Elijah, get up and go. You're not alone. You're not alone. I've given you others. Go down, anoint Jehu, anoint Hazael, and anoint Elisha, who will succeed you. Anoint these kings, anoint these rulers. Live out your life as the prophet that I have chosen. You're not alone. There are 8,000 people in Israel who have not bent at the feet of Baal, who have not worshipped at his feet, who have not kissed that idol. There are 8,000 out there. You're not alone. And Elijah, they need you to be who I have called you to be who I have created you to be. They're silent. They're suffering out there. And they need you. This is a pivotal moment in the life of this saint of God. And if you read the stories of the great people of faith, you'll find these moments, these instances in which, in the dark night of their souls, the whisper calls them out. That when God speaks to them, they listen. They get up. They wash their faces. And they go back out into the world. Friends, God speaks in sometimes unexpected ways. We might hope that God will speak to us when we are in times of comfort, when we're in times of safety. We might hope that God will speak powerful words to us when we're here in God's sanctuary, perhaps. But when you read the lives of the saints, you find that God speaks in powerful ways when they put themselves in situations where there is danger, there's risk, there's loss involved, potentially. And it's in those places when they are outside of their comfort zones, when they are serving God in powerful ways, that they hear God speak to them in even more powerful terms, calling them to do even greater things in God's name, because there are a world of people out there who need them to fulfill their calling in this life. So, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today, what are you doing to hear God's voice in your life? What situations are you placing yourselves in to give God the opportunity to speak to you in powerful ways? How are you in the world serving in Jesus' name in such a way that God will use those opportunities to speak to you? Unfortunately, it's not always the case that when God speaks through us, people listen. The prophets of God discovered that in the Old Testament. Jesus himself discovered that in our Christian scriptures, in our New Testament. Speaking for God, speaking God's word to people, ran him afoul with authorities. And yet, that is the life of the saint. The life of the saint of God is a life of sacrifice, a life of putting God's desires and needs ahead of our own. So when God speaks to you today, when you're out in the world serving God and God speaks to you, will you listen? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Most holy God, we thank you for the life of your dear saint Elijah, the way that his life speaks into our lives. We thank you for speaking to us in so many ways, often unexpected. We pray, Lord, that we would be in situations that would guide us in hearing you better. Open our hearts and our minds to hear your word in our lives, and then give us the courage to speak that word to the powers of this world we live in. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church,
the communion of saints,